Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This episode of Believe is brought to you by Cryptid Coffee Co. Use promo code BELIEVE on checkout for 10% off their Angry Yowie coffee blend. Head over to cryptid.com.au to check them out.
It was just the most massive thing I've ever seen. To tell you the honest truth, I thought, well, we're the only ones left on this planet. Something's happened. We've missed something here.
The fear that went in me when I seen it was just the feeling, I'd say it was fear, but I've never felt that feeling before in my entire life.
It's a weird feeling, like you can't explain it when you don't know. You feel like you're being followed, but you don't know what it is.
We had two to our right, another one in front of us, another one to the left, and another one just across the road, shaking the daylight out of the tree. All we get is a big red eye.
I remember waking up and looking at the end of the bed, and there was a figure there, almost insect-like, and then I blacked out.
Welcome to the show, everyone. My name is Cade Moyer, and you are listening to the Believe Paranormal and UFO Podcast. If you have had an encounter and would like to share it, please get in touch with me. My email address is believepod@gmail.com. If you enjoy the podcast, be sure to leave us a rating or review wherever you listen and head on over to our website, believepod.com, and consider becoming a member to get bonus episodes and video content. Tonight I'm joined by Neil, and Neil had some very unusual activity happening on quite a large property out in Western Queensland, and he comes on the show to share what happened there and actually so much more that's really been happening to him since he was quite a young child. Neil, welcome to the show, mate.
Thank you.
I was flabbergasted by your emails that you shot through, because there's some pretty intense stuff that kind of goes on in your life, and what is really quite interesting is the fact that you were living on a 2,000-acre size property, which is enormous for kind of the city folk like me who would only dream of having a slither of that. But being on a property like that would be quite an isolated experience, I imagine, in its own. But then, you know, you do have this weird activity going on there. So, Neil, are you kind of able to tell us what was going on this property that you had out in Western Queensland?
Yeah, it happened, like, it didn't happen all the time, kind of. It was just different times, you know, maybe once or twice in a month or whatever these things happen. But then there's one incident that I'll continue about is, I used to go to bed with a DVD on. And it used to be a funny, like a comedy one before I went to sleep. And I used to put the timer on, so when it'll go off and it's just a bit of, you know, noise in the background so it can help me sleep. And I was doing that, and it's this one night. I remember I had my back towards the TV, and I don't know, I just felt like something entered my room. And as it did, it came from like the side of the TV. It was like this thing that come in, it was like it was using this, you know, like all things, you know, it's got to have a power to come from a different dimension to another dimension, or to this dimension here, this plane here kind of thing. And it froze me. It froze me, and I couldn't move. And this has happened, you know, once or twice, you know, before this has happened, but this was really strong, this one. And I tried to talk. I couldn't talk, and I could see this thing. I could see it, and even though I had my back towards him, or it anyway, I could see it coming towards me, and its nails. Its nails would have been about 10 or 15 centimeters long. And all I seen it was coming from behind me, and it was just, like wriggling its finger, and it was coming up in the back, and it was just about to stick its nails into my back. And then that's when I woke up. I got out of that state of, you know, being paralyzed kind of thing, and then I just got up. I just realized what happened kind of thing, and it wasn't a fright or anything, or, you know, I wasn't dazed or nothing, but I realized what happened. And I've always been told with things like that, you know, like especially coming from a funeral or, you know, going other places outside, is that, you know, usually I'll say things at the gate that I come in, is that, you know, I leave all that stuff outside, whatever's following me or whatever, I leave outside, you know, you're not welcome in my, you know, in my house and in my surroundings kind of thing. So that's what I did with this thing. I opened all the doors up and, you know, what I was told, I asked it to leave. And I asked it to leave with love, and always been told you never get angry with spirits because that's what they feed off. So you just send them away with love and they go. And so I went outside and I was, you know, I threw down a couple of cigarettes, mate, after that. And all I could see in the back of me, I was facing, you know, out towards the darkness, kind of, you know, and all I could see and feel in the back of me was this big black figure just walked at the back of me, and this chills just went up my spine kind of thing. And, you know, I had a couple more smokes after that, and then I went back to bed kind of thing. And, yeah, it was really, really, yeah, it was an experience. I know that. And it was and that's the thing about it, you know, it was like an adrenaline rush. That's what it was. You know, you're scared, and you know, sometimes when you're scared, mate, you become the best that you are sometimes. Was it not? Yeah.
Do you think you froze because it was a fear, or do you feel like you were frozen because this thing was making you not be able to move?
Yeah, it was. As soon as it entered from, and like I said, Bob, it was when I was asleep, it was like it was just someone just hit the door. And it frightens you kind of thing, and it wakes you up. That's how it was. But I was still asleep. I had my eyes closed, and I could still see it. It was like in my third eye. And I had my back towards this thing.
Have you ever experienced, like, out-of-body experiences or anything like that before?
I have, through meditation, I have.
Did that feel different to what you experienced here?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course. Like with that one, you're out of your body, and you know, you're using the elements that are around you to get to different places. I understand that, but that there, like it was, Kate, mate. Like I said, it was a fight, mate. It just come out of nowhere. So I ended up telling a friend of mine about it, and the first thing he said to me, and this fella, like he's an old fella. And, you know, I talked to him, you know, a lot about things. And the first thing he asked me, he said, "What'd you ask?" I said, "Okay, I understand where you're going with that then." And, yeah, and I did ask something. Yeah, and that's where it happened. And then, you know, like I said, I regretted that going, you know. And but then it did come back probably a couple of weeks later. It happened three other times on that property.
Do you mind me asking what it was that you asked it?
Yeah, no, there was something. There was something I asked to heal me.
So this thing came back multiple times after this?
Oh, yeah, even when I moved back to my hometown.
Really? So you moved to a completely different part of the country and this thing followed you?
The first one I had these was up north Queensland. And I remember, yeah, something happened in that, and it was, and that's what really scared me at that time was then, and yeah, and this was during the morning. This was this would have been 6 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, really?
Yeah, mate.
That just breaks all the rules of scary stories, doesn't it?
No, it's. What it was, yeah, no, I remember asking what this, I asked a question, and I've always done that, is, you know, I'm always outside, Kate, I'm always under the stars, you know, I meditate on the stars, I just sit out in the stars and just look at different constellations that come over, and then, you know, the different seasons that are coming through, and just ask questions of what there is, and you know, even help sometimes. And that's what part of all this dreaming is all about, is that your answers come into your dreams. But, you know, the symbolism and then what you take out of that, you know, it's that's what the reality you're living in. You know, even though we're in this reality here, but it's part of what's in your life at that time, if that makes sense.
No, it really does. It makes perfect sense to me there. Did this thing feel like it was negative at all to you?
No, that's the thing about the only thing that scared me, because he froze me. That was a scary bit. I wouldn't say scary, but it was unusual. You know, like you're laying there and then you can see this thing, well, with my back towards it and coming towards me, and I can see that through my third eye kind of thing. And that was
Were your other encounters similar to that, where it was a bit of a third eye experience, but you weren't frozen?
No, it always happened like that. Like I'd one time I slept out in the lounge, and I had to, you know, I turned the lights and that off, and I just, because I was that tired, I just laid in the lounge, and I don't know how long I was asleep, though. That's the thing, I don't know how long, over this time, I don't know how long that took in that moment. That could have took a couple of hours. To me, it only took like, you know, 5-10 minutes. But this could have been a longer time. But that night, when I was sleeping in the lounge, I could see this thing in the dark coming towards me. It did the same thing. As soon as it entered into this reality here, this plane kind of thing, that's when I seen it. It was just like this come out of nowhere. And it was in the same, where the TV was in the room, it was in the same spot where, on the outside, on the other hallway, going into the lounge kind of thing, that's where the same spot where it come out of. So whether there was something there that made that, but it was on the other side of the wall outside of my room.
That's interesting.
And
I wonder if there's like a totem or something like that, like something that draws it from that point in that house.
Yep. Yeah. See, I didn't realize that. I'm telling you now, like, you know, things come back and you have to think of things, and yeah, that's how it was.
So the other encounters that you had with this thing, like they didn't scare you or anything like that. They were just, you just felt at peace with this thing visiting you?
No, I can't explain it. Okay, like it just ended up when it came into my presence, kind of thing. That's the thing about it. It froze you. So if that thing is, you know, it would have been about 10 meters away. And if it could freeze you from there, like, this thing has a bit of power and it knows about human behavior. It knows about human, you know, just how we're made, mate. You know, like, and it's like, you know, it's like all things, even a doctor, mate. You know, a doctor gives you anesthetic to, you know, sometimes to take the pain away and that too. But, you know, this thing here, like, you did use, I don't know what it used, and that's the thing about it. I don't know what it used to make me. I don't know if anyone knows how they do this. You know, far in, but it's interesting how this all happens.
Yeah, for me, just hearing of experiences like this, because I hear them fairly often, and it almost seems scarier, the fact that you've lost control of your ability to do what you want, like you've lost your free will, and
yes,
you have no control over what happens next. To me, yep, that would almost be more terrifying than you seeing like an entity or something like that.
Yep. Yeah, no, and that's the thing. I know, and I've been told this, you know, by a lot of old fellas. You know what I mean by the old fellas, like elders, you know, black and white. And then it's the same thing, you know, like I was saying, you send things with love. It's always about love. And you've just got to, you know, just sit in that and know that it'll come through kind of thing. But for something to happen like that, Kate, like it's, Yeah, like even today, I look back on it and I just think, you know, I thought I lived a boring life, but, you know, some of the things that have happened to me in my life, you realise, you know, you're blessed with this stuff.
That's a really good way to look at it, because a lot of people would consider having encounters like this a curse, because most people go through their whole lives living fairly vanilla,
yep,
days in, days out. And most people would kind of wish to have an encounter like this, and what it would really do is just turn the paradigm. It would shift that paradigm for so many people that you just can't go back to a normal life, I feel.
Yeah, and like I was saying, you know, before this program, is that, you know, that we've just been dumbed down and told, you know, these things aren't there. And it's like, you know, like I said to you before, religion, you know, religion has a lot to do with it. Now, and I'm not saying, you know, what you believe in is what you believe in, but I'm just coming from my experience of how I grew up in a religious house, and you know, a lot of that stuff was brought on by what was taught in the church, and, you know, a lot of that, and it took me a while to get away from that and you know, unlearn some of the stuff that I learned, but not saying that I didn't take anything out of that, you know, and taking it as a spiritual thing out of any book that you read or anything that is here. You're just taking things out of it, you know, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I really do. And it's quite interesting because, like, did you ever find that having a highly religious upbringing, like, did you find that, how do I say this? Did you find that ever kind of headbutted with any traditional values that you may have had?
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. That's all I knew. And then, you know, at that time, you know, when we leave the house, you know, we were underneath at the roof and we'd just go to church and that. But, yeah, and then, you know, like I was saying, you know, you had to unlearn some of the stuff. And then I'm trying to think of that word, you know, that brainwash. There's a lot of brainwash. And then, you know, like my family, you know, we were in church so many times a week. You know, that's all we knew. But, you know, even, you know, I remember when I was a young fella, because it was scary. Because that's what I mean. I could see things in the dark, and that I knew things were in the dark when I was a young fella. And every time I used to say that to mum and dad, and that they used to go off at me, saying, you know, that's just, in a way, like it's the devil. You know, and then I remember one night, and I still remember it to this day, and I'll probably be there at 7. I went outside, and sometimes at that time, the toilets were at the back, and I walked out the back, and I could see, as I was walking back in, you know, I stood under the light as I was going around the corner, and something just, like, it just hit me from behind, and I turned around, and I could see this old Aboriginal fella. He was standing there with a fence, and then he just pointed at me. And all of a sudden, I got this thing in my throat where I couldn't swallow anymore. And I tried to get the drink, and it was like, and I've never had a knife in my throat, but it just felt like something was stabbing in my throat from that old man.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's fair, Dinkum. And I went up, and I was, you know, I was scared. And I heard, you know, I was listening to the, not listening, I was that fucking scared. And I told my mum, and she smacked me and said, you know, stop talking silly. And that night I went to bed, you know, just later on I went to bed and I couldn't sleep because this thing was stuck in my throat.
So it was still affecting you later into the night?
Yeah, it was still in there.
Wow.
And I, you know, every time I drank and every time I was telling my mum about it, Jimmy's, don't talk silly, you know, kind of thing. And that's how it was. And I look back on it now, and I just, you know, to me, you know, when you do something like that, and, you know, like I was saying to you before, I don't believe in coincidences. I believe everything happens for a reason, or what you ask, both negative and positive. But, it, you know, it in your throat has something to do with your voice. So whether that thing stopped me from, you know, from saying anything or just keeping me shut, keeping me quiet, you know what I mean? And then I realised later on, and And I mean, like I said, I spoke to an alpha about this, and he said, well, that person or whatever, that entity didn't want you to say anything because of, I heard you say it, Kate, instead of, you know, I don't want to give secrets away either, but every person that's born into this earth might have their in their cells and in their DNA, might they have memories or past lives, I believe. And things that have happened to them, you know, in different parts of their life kind of thing. But it also, you know, there's this world, this universe is too big, mate, to just sit here in one night and try and explain things. You know, that's what I mean. I'm not a scientist. I'm not none of this stuff. But I know in my heart of things that are around what you use, like, you know, like that incident that happened out there. You know, these entities and these things, they're using the unseen forces that are around us that we don't see as human eyes.
And one thing that I this would almost be a catchphrase for this podcast is that, you know, I think the Australian bushes, it's so alive. There's so much energy out there and so much spiritual energy that, you know, it doesn't surprise me that, you know, you have these types of encounters and, you know, these really far out and wide spread out places. And now a quick word from our sponsor.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Also, are you wanting more content? Why not become a Believe Plus member? You'll get access to exclusive podcasts and episodes that aren't available to the public. Not only that, you'll also get our regular feed without any ads. Head to believepod.com/plus to sign up today for just $5 a month.
And then that's what I mean, mate. Like, you know, some of the stuff that I've, you know, heard of your podcast and that, you know, like some of this stuff is just, you know, just in the bush, but then some of it's not far from, you know, towns and that too. You know, like, I don't know, what's it with Bathurst, mate?
Oh, mate, that is... it is a crazy, crazy place out that way, out that hillland area. Holy moly. Yep. It's on my go-to list for spooky places because I think I've had 3 or 4 people come on the podcast from that area with very unique and unusual encounters.
Yeah. And I'm not, you know, like you're saying, mate, like, you know, the bush in that and what's around us. And that happened, getting back to that story of it, it come again probably about a couple of weeks later. And it come in, I was in the room at that time. And it come, and like I said, in the same spot came, it just come into this dimension again. And then that's when I started, I knew it was coming. And then it froze me for a little bit. Then I don't know, 10, 20 seconds, that's it. And then I just kind of snapped out of it. And I end up sitting up. And I just said, you know, the same thing. I end up coming to go outside. But then, and then that stopped. That stopped for a while. Well, not stopped for a while, but like I said, I moved back to my hometown, and it kind of, not kind of, it followed me here. And I was sleeping one night and you know, not just about to fall asleep, I think I was asleep. And like I say to you, when these things happen, I don't know how long it is or if it's an hour or, you know, sometimes time, there's no time in these things that you can't see sometimes, or you can't, or you don't know what time it is. That's what I mean. Like, it could have been 20 minutes, it could have been 10 minutes. All I remember is that I had the bed, and I always sleep to the room, to the door. I'll always sleep with my face, you know, towards the door, and that's how it was. And I could feel this thing walking in. And I had the door shut in my room. I could feel this thing walking, and it just kept walking and just walked straight through my door. And that's when I knew, like, that little started to freeze me. That's when I knew that thing was there. So I ended up, you know, I started talking to it. And that's when I started getting braver with it, telling the truth. And I asked her, I said, what are you doing here? You know, I don't know you. And that's when it stopped. Trying to open the doors up and letting that out again. And then, you know, probably about 2 weeks later, no, it didn't happen for a couple of months. And then all of a sudden, I started, you know, I was sleeping out in the land watching TV. And then it happened again. I felt that thing, me being frozen again. So then I just started playing, and I always remember that. I remember old people were saying to me that, you know, the universe, the law of the universe is of things like this, is that your command, you know, if you command something to appear, it has to appear because it's obeying by this law. And it's the same, you know, the same with all things. You know, we obey and abide by different laws of the universe. And this is what happened that night. And I asked, what was it? You know, what do you want? Who are you? You know, up here. And it just left. It just didn't do anything. As soon as it came, it worked. And then it happened again that night. It come again. And I just said, I'm not afraid of you. Show me who you are. And it just left again. So that night, that was when I was out in the land, three times it come. And it just, like it walked in, and then it knew what I was going to say, and then it walked out again, and it just went. And I haven't had one since. And I hope talking to you, it doesn't come back again. But no, I've got something I want to, you know, it will happen again, but at a time when it's meant to be. I believe that. And, you know, I have something prepared for this conversation I'm going to have with it.
Has it ever communicated with you verbally or anything like that in a way that you can understand it?
No. And that's the thing. It's just a present. And just a present, sorry. It was just there. You knew it was there. But communicating with it, I had no communication with it. The only communication I had was, well, I was talking, but it wasn't talking back to me. The only communication was a presence in that room.
I really have no words for it because, you know, I've never really heard of an entity having such an attachment that it just comes back over and over and over, regardless of where you are. And this one, it almost seems like it wants to be let into your life, but you have that control over it now, which, you know, in my mind, I think that's a positive thing.
Yeah, and you know, that's you know, you're gonna hear me say like the old people, and what I mean by that is just the elders that I spoke to within my life, and a lot of them have told me stuff about things like this, and you know, just different things of how you control things, Kate. You know, and I was told, you know, like I spoke to someone about this, and they just said, next time, always put salt on the window sills. Always put it at that waist height because they can't come over that. Yeah, I was told. And even putting salt in the door and that. But, you know, yeah. And I just, you know, that's what I mean. It wasn't... you know, it wasn't being harmful to me or anything, but it was just there, and it was, you know, like anything. If you've experienced something like that, you know, it's gonna be scary the first time, man. You know, like yeah. But you know, then after that stopped. But then, you know, I remember I was having Christmas over the Sunny Coast, and I had to come back home because I had dogs. I had to feed every second, third day kind of thing. I ended up coming home, and then, you know, I got on just on dust, and, you know, when the sun was going down, but still a bit of light where I could, you know, feed the animals and that. So So I end up, you know, locking the animals up, the chooks and then whatever else, and my dogs and cat. And I end up going to bed, mate. And at that time, the bed was at a different angle kind of thing, up against a different wall. And as I was that tired, Kate, I just, you know, I never had a shower or anything. I just, as soon as I got home, I just said, nah, stuff it, I'm going to go straight to bed. And I thought, nah, I better have a shower. So I ended up having a shower, and then I just started hearing this little clicky noise. And it was just slow. I don't know, what the fuck is that? That sounds funny. And I thought it was my cat eating something. And then I was just, you know, after that, I was having a shower, mate. And then I got out, and then, you know, I put my clothes on and then just started walking out. I could still hear it. Still hear this. I walked outside, you know, nothing there. And okay, and I just, whatever it is, kind of thing. And you know, I'm just trying to make sense of what that was. And I just thought, you know, I'm just being tired. And then I laid into bed, and then as soon as I closed my eyes, I seen in the corner the same thing with the third eye. Whether that was it or I don't know. That's what I mean. And Dale, Queensland is at that time. And, you know, Dale, Queensland, this one that I was in was built in the 1930s. And it had a high roof. So this thing, yeah, when I closed my eyes, I could see this thing. It was like a praying mantis, the face of a praying mantis. And it was its back was bending over and it was still touching the ceiling. And it was talking in that little, you know, clicky noise. And I stopped and I looked at it and I could see it. And that's how it was, but I didn't know what it was saying or what it was trying to communicate with me or anything. But it just, how long it was, Kate, I don't know. I really don't know. Like, these times, you know, sometimes there's no time if you're in a different dimension kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And that, I come out and then as soon as I open my eyes, I can see this like a smoke. It wasn't a ball of smoke, it was just a smoke that just disappeared.
So and I just got up. You saw this thing in your third eye, but when you actually opened your eyes, you saw this smoke in the room.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And then that's when I, you know, the same thing. I just got up and I asked to leave. And like now, looking back on it now, I'm asking, you know, I could have been having a conversation with these things for a long time now. But just at that time, I was still, I think, you know, when you go through a lot of things in your life, I know, like, it would be depression and that. Like, I had a lot of depression in my life. And this is when a lot of these things happen. You know, and at that time, you know, like I was saying, there was things going on in my life at that time, and that's when they usually came. And whether that's coming on to that, or, you know, different stages of my life, I had that depression, and different things happened, different places that I've told you this. You know, and then after that, mate, it just left. And, oh, but, you know, like that's not the end of it, Kate. You know, like, mate, it just. I was in a town not far from the place I was staying, and I was, you know, I was talking to a lot of people and then reading a lot of stuff and all like things, you know, what you read, you attract, you know, and a lot of stuff I was reading about was, you know, aliens or whatever they, you know, that people call them aliens, but, you know, they're off-world beings, mate, that's what they are, you know, and all I remember sitting down watching this TV and then all of us heard was, go outside. Just go outside. So I ended up going outside, and I looked to the right, and on top of this roof, the next door neighbor, was this spaceship. And it had like a rectangle, and as you come down to the bottom, it was like a circle. There was two of them, and they were red. And it just went off and on, off and on. I didn't see it disappear. I didn't see it take off. It didn't take off. All it was just disappeared. And I just looked at that and I just think, geez. And you could hear that there was a little noise about it. know, like a little buzzing noise. And this is just in a local, you know, I don't know if anyone else seen that. I don't know.
When you say they were on your neighbor's roof, do you mean like they were actually on the roof, or were they kind of like floating above it?
Hovering above it.
Wow.
Yeah, and this was in a local town.
How big do you think they were?
I don't know. I really don't know, but I've on that property now, when I went, I've seen a few there, and there was one. Oh, geez, I'm trying to think of how big that house was. But it was in the yard that's around it, there was one about, I don't know, it would have been about an acre, I reckon. An acre or 2 acres that was in that yard. And it that's how big that sheep was over the top of me.
Really?
I could see. Yeah. And that's what it did alone. It did. But the thing about it was only there for me to see, for me to acknowledge it and notice it. And, you know, after that, you know, like there was a lot of things going on at that time with, if I tell you something, I know I'd give myself away, but there was a lot of industries out that way of doing things, and they were putting a lot of stuff to the environment and whatever else, and there's a few things going on. And I was talking to a freelance journalist over in WA, and we were talking about what was going on there, and I said to her, I said, you know, like, you know, this is the country that we live on, or anywhere. I said, you know, we're destroying something that don't belong to us. You know, we've got to keep this in our generation of the children that are coming through. And that's all it was about. It was about the children coming through, what we were talking about, you know, and the destruction that's been happening. And as I was talking to her, and all of a sudden in the corner of my eye, I seen this thing. And it was going around in a circle. The lights were going around in a circle. It just appeared from nowhere. Okay? And, oh, mate. I don't know. I don't know if it was fear that night, but I've never experienced anything like that in my life. It would have been about 20, 30 meters away, and it was hovering above a tree. And I looked at it, I seen it, and it would have been about for 15 minutes, that's how long that, 15 seconds, sorry about that thing, that the light that was just going around. And why I got scared, it wasn't because I looked at that. It was the power that was coming from it. That's what scared me. And I've never, you know, like, you know, sometimes, you know, when you can feel a big speaker, you know, and if it's loud, you can feel that beat coming off it. I'm not saying that's what was it, but it was just like this energy that's come off it. And it was powerful.
You know, it's something that I hear in some UFO encounters, Neil, where people feel like the atmosphere changes. And
yep.
I feel like that's exactly what you're saying here, is that that whole surrounding area, it just felt charged, full of energy.
Yep. Yeah. And then I end up speaking to a few other people, you know, around, you know, the towns and that. The people that I was very confident in talking to at that time, like I was saying before, you know, some people, you know, want to ridicule you and think that you're, you know, you're going crazy and that, but, you know, I choose who I talk to. And they were saying at that time there was a lot of action out that way. And people around that area were seeing things too.
Do you think that's because they were disturbing the natural land that was attracting these UFOs?
I think so. And those and that's the thing about it, you know, like with everything that's going on now, Kate, like what we've been taught, you know, from a certain age to where we are, and, you know, where we are in our life, we're just brainwashed in a lot of things. And I believe with this stuff here now that goes on, is that we've blocked something in our brain not to see these things. This comes from, you know, not being who you are. And you know, like I was saying before, what's in your DNA and what you should be doing instead of living. And it's living this Western life that we live now, you know.
Oh, 100%. You know, I'm a massive believer that, you know, the pop culture, the zeitgeist is a massive influence on, you know, people's perception of, you know, what they see, how they interpret it, and how they react to it. Because, you know, it's really no secret that there was a massive misinformation campaign essentially done worldwide regarding UFOs that, you know, if you did see one, you were loony. And that's just not how it is.
No. And then, you know, that's that night, you know, like that night now, and then it was, I'll tell you what, you got to be thankful for these things, mate. You know, that's what I mean, like, if I die tomorrow, you know, I know that I've done something, I've seen something, I know that there's something else.
And I think that's a really positive way to go from these encounters, because, you know, you've said that not all of them were bad, but not all of them were good in the sense that, you know, there was a, you know, a sense of, I guess, uncertainty attached to some of them, and to walk away from those with the sense of, you know, pride and feeling lucky. I think that's incredible to have that installed within you.
Yeah, no, like I say, no, you know, some of your podcasts, mate, like I've probably heard most of them, and then some of the people that are in there, you know, talking about what's going on, like, man, there's something that has switched on with them, you know, that the normal people of this earth and of this world, mate, there's, you know, I'm talking about people in the cities, mate, that are so focused on other things where, you know, if you want to see a bit of something in your life or something different, you know, you go out into the stars, mate, and there's a lot of stuff out there, but there's a lot in the bush, and, you know, that wasn't the end of what else happened on that, you know, on that property, mate. You know, look, there's another incident where I've seen another UFO. I was coming from work, and I used to have a nullah in my car, and every time I used to drive, I used to see kangaroos on the side of the road. And people just hit these cars, hit these kangaroos, mate. And it was just, you know, leaving an animal, you know, to die in pain. So I ended up, you know, I was coming home one night, you know, it was winter time because, you know, the dark time come around, you know, 5:30, 6 o'clock. And it would have been about 6:30. And then I seen this thing in the light, and it was this kangaroo. And it was just, so I got out and I put it out, but it's misery. You know, I know you're not supposed to do that, but I did. No, I'm not going to leave an animal like that. So I end up, what I do and with these animals or any animal is I put it out of its misery, and then I'll put my hand on its heart, and I'm going to wait for the last heartbeat. And I tell it, and I ask for, you know, my ancestors to take the spirit and take that spirit to where it needs to go. And I just left it at that, and then all the animals that I've done that to, the kangaroos and then whatever else was on the road, I've always done that and give that spirit back to where it needs to go. And I was coming to the property, and I just pulled up at the property, and I can see and to my right, like to the south kind of thing. This massive, there were three of them, they're like in a triangle. They were massive, big lights, and it was like they were communicating with each other. And like I said, they were just there for me to see, for me to witness. And as quick as they come, they've gone. And I was thinking, wow, you know, like, how many other people have seen this? You know, and
do you get the impression that these UFO encounters that you had are, and this might sound cheesy, but for your eyes only type of thing?
Yeah. But I know for a fact I was going to a mate, and, you know, this mate of mine, we used to talk about stuff like this and what's his experience and what I've experienced in my life. And we used to sit there for hours just talking. And there was me and him and his friend. She was there. And we're sitting around the fire and we're just looking up at the stars. And Cade, we've seen two of them. You know, like on Star Wars, You know, they were going around, you know, like the ships and that, they were fighting. You know, like, what do you call it? They were like playing a game with each other.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and there was one at the front and one at the back. The one at the back was chasing it. And it was going and it was doing these loops. And it was not, it wasn't a plane or anything. This was like, as you say, like deep. It was right in the darkness of the universe, kind of thing, of the stars. And I showed those two, and they looked up and they seen it. So there's three of us that seen it that night. And I said to them, I said, wonder how many other people are looking up at this time and seeing this. And yeah, and that's the only person, except for, I suppose my ex-wife and my father. You know, like I said, the first email that I sent you was, the first encounter I come was this massive big one that come over my father's house. You know, And it was like, you know, at that early age, my siblings and, you know, the people that I talk to and that, they've never seen UFOs. And it's, like you're saying, whether it's just for my eyes only, it probably is.
And the thing is, you know, people like yourself, Neil, who seem to be more open to this type of, I guess, world is the way to say it, seem to encounter these things more often than those who aren't. So, yeah. You know, for me, it's really no surprise that you have the encounters that you have, because not to say that you're chosen, but I think you are very open-minded and very accepting of it all, which,
yeah.
You know, I think gets you a lot of universal credits to see things that people wouldn't ever get the chance to.
Yeah. And, you know, that's what I mean, Kate. Like, that's what I mean. They talk about these voices in your head. I don't have to hear voices, mate. I don't know. I don't hear a voice, but it's like something that's come from within you, whether it's your DNA or whether it's just the cells that are in your body. And one night I was just about to go to bed out of that property. And then I don't know what I was thinking then. I still to the day, and sometimes I think about it. And I remember I don't go out in the wind. I mean, when I know there's a wind blowing, there's something on that wind. And I don't know, you know, I never go out to them. Only if I'm out and that happens, I stay out. But if I'm in the house and I can hear that, and I can hear that howl, and it's the sound that it makes, you know, through the trees or through the house, and that the howling that it does, I don't go out because there's something on that wind. There's something coming to get something. I know that, and it's...
Like a message is being delivered.
Yeah, or something on the wind. That's all I can say.
So, Neil, what do you think it is when you see UFOs? What do you think it is? Do you think it's an outer... Do you think it's like a craft from another planet, or do you think it's something more spiritual?
Yeah, I think it's... You know, that's what I mean, how many dimensions do we have? You know, that's what... We're in this physical dimension here, but what we're seeing. You know, like old Nikola Tesla, you know, one of his sayings was, you know, to understand the universe, always thinking frequency, vibration, and anything. And this is the dimension that, you know, we're talking about right now. And those things, like, and that's what I mean, like, how old is a human race? And I was only saying to my... I was listening to something last week, and it was about this fella. He said that it's about UFOs. And he said that he has recorded 60 kinds of different outer world beings. And I was just saying to my partner, if there's 60 out there, so does that mean that every human on the surface, every, you know, nationality or creed, is that made by these people or these beings? You know what I mean?
It's a rabbit hole that could go on forever when you get into those mindsets, because it is, there's just so many things that you can explore into those worlds, really.
And see, the thing, like, I know up north and then up in the territory and to the west and that, I think, over there. But I know here, up near Laura, around that area, you know, that there's, even on different other paintings in caves and that, you know, they've got these beings that have got these big eyes, the same eyes as what they call aliens. They are our creators. And that's what I've always thought about, you know, like if they're painting this and these are thousands, thousands years old, you know, what has come to this country now is to take us away from the knowledge that we know that is really within us. And now that's all cultures.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And I think that's what makes the Aboriginal culture so unique and so amazing, is that it's got this untold history that is really passed down to generation to generation, and it's kept so secure. I think it's fantastic.
And see, it's not only the Aboriginal side, mate. Eh? Like, I remember having a dream one night. It was I can remember it like it was yesterday. And I know it might be going off the top. I will get back to that, what we were talking about before, but we're talking about other cultures. But, you know, the other bloodlines that are in me, I'm picking up stuff off that too. Like, you know, my great-grandfather, he was an Irishman. And that's all we know, and what his name was, you know. And I remember having this dream. And it was around Stonehenge. And at that time, all I seen was, I was walking, and there was these two beings. So my head, you know, I'm about 6 foot three kind of thing. And I was walking along, and it was like a takeoff. This is what it was. It was like a takeoff going up to this Stonehenge. It wasn't going to Stonehenge. Stonehenge was on a certain, it was in a distance kind of thing. And all I seen, I was walking with these fellas, two of them, one on the left and one on the right. And like I said, I'm 6'2", 6'3", something like that. I come up to their knees, and that's how tall these fellas were. And they weren't talking to me. We were telepathically talking. And they were saying, this is a runway. And I said, what do you mean, runway? And he said, well, this is a runway. And it was then. A runway. What's a runway? It's a craft, and you know, a plane goes on that. But then they took me to Stonehenge, and you know, I might be, you know, like I was saying, I'm careful in what I say over the phone with some things, and you know, like this now, and what they showed me there on with that Stonehenge, like this was all together, you know, there was no pieces taken out. And in the middle there, they've got that, they've got like a table kind of thing. And in the table, and I've spoken to many people about this, and I've asked their version of what they think it was. And I don't know if this is true, but I'm just telling you what they told me and what they showed me in this dream. And there was like an opaque colour, like an emerald colour, and it was a rock. And it was cut in different... different directions. So when the summer solstice or the winter solstice come to that certain height, it goes through that. And then it goes to the walls that are around. So every cut, it goes to a different wall or on that rock. And there's something that's hidden in there. And that's like that, you know, that blue light the detectors and that use?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was like that. And you can only see it. You couldn't see it from a normal eye. You can only see it at the solstice when that light went up on top of the blocks on up on top, down around. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, that's very, very interesting. I always love a good Stonehenge theory and just a different perspective of it, because It is one of the most fascinating places in the world.
It is, one little thing I want to tell you after this is that's on that property now. Like, you know, saying I'll get back to that thing, I'll finish that off, and then just go outside. So I end up going outside, and I didn't turn the light on. And then that night it was, the moon was out. And, you know, it would have been about where the end of the veranda to, probably about 10 minutes to the fence. And then when as soon as I walked outside, I could see him. There were seven lines of different Aboriginal people with different paintings on.
Wow, and really?
And I looked at them, and then they went from, you know, the recent 150 years, you know, to up to, not up till now, the last ones that were there. And they were, all they were just coming through because the Bunya Mountains weren't far from there. And the Bunya Mountains was a place where everyone went every 3 years, or they danced and the law and everything was on top. So the story around here is about that, the Bunya Mountains. And there were seven of them. And going right back at the end were the ancient ones.
Wow. So it's like a bloodline.
Yes. So those ancient ones back then, it was, they were kind of, I can't explain it. The faces were like, I'm not going to say that they weren't from out of this world. I don't know. But they were different to our being now, you know, what we are now.
What a surreal experience that would have been. And that would have felt like you were the most special person in the world at that moment in time.
Yeah. And, that's what, I've seen seven. And that's what I mean, numbers. It's all, and some people are on numbers and that too. But I don't know why they showed me the seven generations, and I don't know how apart those generations were either. The first one could have been, 150, and the other one could have been, longer. But the different ages from the eldest, the ancients, to the ones up to now. And like I was saying, they come through the wind, and they were going through.
Wow.
And all that's telling me is that they were just coming through.
Neil, you are one of the most interesting people I've ever spoken to, and it's a real pleasure to have you on the show to give us this different perspective to the side of the weird and the unusual that happens in Australia. It's been such an honor talking to you tonight, Neil.
Thanks for having me on, Craig. Like I said, before the other day, me and my missus, we sit around the phone, we had your podcast on the other day, and I was only saying to her, I said, I wonder when Kate's going to look at that email. I wonder if he wants me on there. And I kept, that's what I mean, I kept looking for my email. And then I got it last night. Hey. And like I said, it was just, everything's meant to be at a certain time. You know what I mean?
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Believe Paranormal and UFO podcast. If you have had an encounter and you would like to share it, please get in touch with me. My email address is believepod@gmail.com. Finally, don't forget to follow us on all our social media outlets and be sure to join our Discord server to talk to other listeners of the show. You'll find all these links in our show notes. Thank you.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.